Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. It's Steve and the rest of our home port crew.
Hi, Janice. Here.
And Beth.
Hello.
And Roger.
Good morning.
And for our guest host today, we have Carl Schlosser from the Canadian Border Services Agency.
Good morning.
Say hello. We're not taking call-ins today, so just everybody sit back and relax and enjoy. Carl will be talking about what you need to know in order to make a cruising entry into Canada as uncomplicated as possible. Carl, first, can you tell us how we contact CBSA and when we're ready to enter Canadian waters?
Well, just before that, what I'd like to start with is for your listeners, I'd like to give them our website. And it'll give them complete information that I'll be giving out today. And if they have any other general information, they can also look it up there. And our website here is www.c as in Charlie, b as in boy, s as in Sam, a as in Alpha, hyphen, a as in Apple, s as in Sam, f as in Foxtrot, c as in Charlie, dot g as in George, c as in Charlie, dot c as in Charlie, and A as an Apple.
Okay, great.
And the website, like I said, will confirm a lot of information that I'm giving out today, or you can look out for some additional information. When you decide to come to Canada by a small recreational watercraft, the first thing what you have to do is come to one of our designated sites. And once you've landed at one of our designated sites, the master of the vessel proceeds to get off the vessel while everybody stays on board and phones our telephone reporting line, which is 1-888-226-7277. And what he should be prepared to do when he phones that number is give his vessel registration number. If he hasn't entered Canada before, we will take some information on the vessel. The officer then will guide him through, ask him what marina he's at and how many people are on board, and the master of the vessel should be prepared at that time to give everybody's full names, dates of birth, how long they will be in Canada for, the purpose of their trip to Canada, if they have any declarations, their citizenship, and what country they reside in. And the officer will guide them through at the time all the questions and also where the vessel is located in the marina. For the master, he should also ensure prior to even leaving the United States that everybody on board has the proper identification with them. And it's a very simple procedure. And the officer will ask additional questions such as, does anybody have any goods besides their own personal clothing that they're importing, any type of weapons or firearms with them, any type of monetary instruments that exceed over $10,000 Canadian, or any types of fruit, vegetable materials such as that, or agricultural products.
Okay. Would bringing a passport be something you should do?
Well, we got one or two ways. Number one, a passport is obviously probably the best piece of identification you can have. For the individuals that are traveling, the only other option they have is having a Nexus card, which will be in lieu of a passport. And in that case, what I suggest also too, you should also check with your own government what documentation that you require getting back into the country. And one of their websites, my understanding, is www.c as in Charlie, b as in boy, p as in Peter, .gov. And you get the United States U.S. Customs and Border Protection requirements for documents to return back home.
I'm still on documentation a little bit, I guess, but
okay.
Were your folks ever asked to see like insurance information or registration or Coast Guard documentation?
We personally will not require any type of documentation on the vessel as per se. What the border should do is be prepared probably to have that documentation and check with our Transport Canada, because it would be a Transport Canada regulation that they would require for that. And a number for Transport Canada would be 1-866-995-9737. Or you can visit their website, at www.tcharlie.gc.ca.
Great. And we talked a little bit already about the Nexus program, but there's also a CanPass program?
Correct. What the CanPass and Nexus programs are two programs that belong to the Trusted Traveler, and what it does is it sort of, we have a look at you beforehand, and as a result of it, we issue you with a special type of permit. Well, the special type of permit allows a couple advantages. First of all, you're required to make one call between 30 minutes to 2 hours prior to entering Canada, and you give the officer all the details there. And then, so when you do arrive at the marina, you don't have to wait at a payphone. And if there is no officer present, what happens then is, and if you've met your time that was prearranged, you're allowed to leave. The other advantage is, too, is there are certain type of marinas that it allows you into that are just permit marinas only. And we also have the Nexus program, which is a joint effort. It's very similar to the CanPass program, but like I said, the Nexus card can be used in lieu of a passport when traveling to Canada by small vessel. And one of the other advantages, too, is with it, you can also phone in using our Nexus line, which is 1. Excuse me, just give me 2 seconds, I will get it for you. Too many phone numbers here. Okay, the Nexus 9 is 1-866-99-63-987. Or one other quick way to remember it is 1-866-99-NEXUS.
Okay, good.
And one other thing, when reporting into Canada, after you report in, either using the CanPass program or the Nexus program, you're given what they call a report number. And that report number, what we suggest you do is write it down and place it on the windshield of your vessel. That way it shows you reported in, and if customs goes by, they can have a quick look and just, you know, verify that you've been there. And it'll cause stop or eliminate any type of delays maybe later on.
Okay. Does Canada require a boater's license or a radio telephone operator certificate?
That one, again, unfortunately, it falls under Transport Canada's regulations, and I would suggest that they talk to Transport Canada directly. And it'll give them the phone number prior to and the website.
Okay, sounds good. And Canada does have the equivalent of Coast Guard agency?
Yes, we do.
And
they fall under our Transport Canada department.
Also, okay.
Yes.
I presume that the Canadian Coast Guard can board a U.S. vessel and do a safety inspection?
Correct. The other, my understanding under the Canadian Shipping Act, too, is the local police forces under the under that act, too, if the other marine units can also board vessels and for safety regulations, too.
Okay. That's pretty similar to the U.S. Let me see if I can ask this question properly. There are several, if you're a U.S. flagged vessel and you're in Canada, do they accept U.S. Coast Guard approval of things like life jackets and flares? Or we need to ask
once
them?
Once again, I would suggest the callers either go to the Transport Canada website or give that number a call, because it falls within their regulations. And the customs inspectors at the time, the border services officers, they'll be looking to enforce our regulations.
Okay. Excuse me.
No problem.
One of the questions that always comes up with our members is sewage discharge. Can you address that at all?
Sewage discharge, it doesn't fall within one of our regulations. I would suggest that, once again, that they phone the Transport Canada number or the follow-up with the website, and they can guide you through our rules and regulations dealing with that. Unfortunately,
okay.
That question, once again, falls within Transport Canada.
Okay, that's fine. And then there's a whole list of things that our members are always interested in, you know, what can you bring in and what shouldn't you bring in? And it starts with food and plants.
Food and plants, what we're looking for is, it's a little more different from the United States, but it comes under our Canadian Food Inspection Agency. Once again, always declare any type of food, plant, and animal material. We're like any other country. We try to protect our food sources. And if anybody wants any information, I would suggest they have a quick look at Canadian Food Inspection's website, and that's located at www.beaware.gc.ca. And what usually happens is if we grow it or raise it here, we're usually a little interested in it. There are certain products that coming from the U.S. Are safe or whatever, but there are certain diseases that, or insects that we sometimes are more conscious of.
Okay. The other perennial favorite with our folks is firearms.
Firearms. One of the with firearms, they always have to be declared, and the officer, upon entry into Canada, will ask you that if there are any weapons or firearms on board. What I suggest you do if you're going to bring a firearm to Canada, there is several rules and regulations regarding firearms. Obviously, we have firearms that are prohibited that may not be prohibited in the United States, and we wouldn't want to see visitors coming to Canada with those for a variety of reasons. What I suggest you do is give our importing firearms or weapon into Canada information line at area code 204-983-3500 or area code 506-636-5064. They can also contact our firearms control center, and their number is 1-800-731-4000. And they can guide you through the rules and regulations and what is prohibited and what is allowed in. And what we're looking for is if you have a bona fide use for the weapon in Canada, such as sporting events, hunting events, things like that.
Okay. How about alcohol?
When we allow non-residents to bring alcohol in, anything under 1.5 liters or 53 ounces of wine or 40 ounces of alcohol, or as we put it, 1.140 liters, or a case of beer, you're allowed to bring in duty and tax free. After that, though, be prepared that duty and taxes may apply, and each individual area, depending on where you're going into, would have a different tax rate for the provincial. The federal ones remain the same. But it is expensive, so I would suggest, you know, bring the quantity that I mentioned above, and
okay,
there should be no problems. The other one is tobacco products. We allow individuals to bring in up to 200 cigarettes, 50 cigars, 20 grams of manufactured tobacco, which is 7 ounces, or 200 of those tobacco sticks.
Okay. And pets?
If you bring a pet in, whether a cat or dog, as long as the pet originates from the United States, what you should do is have with you a rabies proof that the animal has been vaccinated. The rabies vaccinations have been up to date. And what we're looking for with any type of pets coming from the United States, if they're in good health.
Okay. And do you have any other publications and resources that we haven't talked about that might be useful for our members?
Well, one of the things, like I said, at the beginning of the show, go to the website. There's a whole bunch of questions and answers for them and a bunch of contact numbers. The only other thing you probably would be at a good time is explosives, fireworks, and ammunition, depending on what they bring in. There may be permits required. That comes under Energy Mines and Resources or Division of Natural Resources Canada. And I do have a phone number. Their phone number is area code 613-948-5200, or we can go to their website at www.NASNancy.gc.ca, and they can give you an outline of what is allowed in and to what limits.
Okay, great.
Carl, could you please repeat the CBSA website address again?
Sure. Our website is www.cbsa-as, as in Sam, F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, .gc.ca.
Thank you. For anyone who missed any of the web addresses or phone numbers, as always, this show will be archived on our website, so at your convenience, you can come in and listen again and pick up those numbers and websites if you need it.
Have we covered everything that you wanted to talk about, Carl?
I think we have, and the only thing is, I hope to see you this summer and enjoy your trip to Canada.
We will. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Just for everybody listening, next week, Janice and I are not going to be here. We have a meeting we have to go to, so Roger and Beth are going to be the hosts for next week. And Beth, do you want to talk a little bit about what you and Roger are going to do next week, besides laugh at me?
What we're hoping to do is we have a series of email tips that anyone can sign up for, and they're free. I believe there are 13 of them, and we're going to start going through them. I'm sure we won't get through all 13, but we're going to go through the tips and discuss them, and if anyone has any questions on any of the tips, they can call in, and we'll see how far we get, and that's, I think that's about it.
Okay,
the tips
great.
Are on, what are some of the tips on? I'm trying to think.
Oh,
the size
there's a-
of the
there's a lot of them, you know, things about watching weather and...
And the size of the boat that you get and
yeah.
Something about don't go where the...
Don't go where the birds are walking.
There, that's it.
Yeah, that's usually a good plan to stay, keep from running aground.
So
in one interjection, I'll try to do a follow-up to this program and see if we can get a representative from Transport Canada to give some information in the next coming weeks.
Yeah, that'd be worthwhile. And as usual, I'm going to put our weekly pitch for memberships in here. So if you're listening to this show and we've piqued your interest in joining the organization, you can sign up at www.greatloop.org. And I think that's it. We finished really fast today, but we got everything.
That's a lot of good information. Thank you, Carl.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Okay, and I think we're done.
Okay.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.